Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. That's right, 2017. Welcome. Let me be the first person from the Sunday morning wake-up call to wish you Happy New Year. Because it's a beautiful new year, is it not, guest Lee Channing from Spirits Evolving?
I'll be the second person to say Happy New Year, Rick.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
I always enjoy it. And we've done New Year's a couple of times, I think. So it's good to see you.
We have on Sunday morning wake-up call version 1.
Absolutely.
And version 2.
Absolutely.
Here on WPVC 94.7. You know, it's a beautiful day. How do we carry that inside to the beautiful studio of WPVC? Let me back up for a second. Lee Channing, spiritsevolving.com. Your job is what?
Working with people, analyzing their intuitive energy, helping them make decisions. And when you said job, I'm going, it's not a job. What are you talking about? You know, I just love it. I work with people all over the world. And, you know, I've just been so blessed for, gosh, 35 or more years now to be able to read people. And I literally sort of read your energy when you ask questions. And I work with animals and, you know, just sort of open my energy to getting input. And I always have. I usually ask me how this start. Well, as a child, I knew I was able to sort of talk to the animals, and I saw colors around people, and I thought everybody did. Found out later on that I didn't. So in my early 20s, they didn't. I began to have clairvoyant episodes. So I was blessed to work with a couple of professors at the University of Virginia who explained to me what was going on, that I really was not losing my mind, that I was clairvoyant. So I started doing it then and worked and built a base and have done it for many, many years. I wrote a book about color awareness because that's an energy process. The color that you wear, it really does make a difference with how you feel and how you respond to situations.
And the difference, the name of your book?
It's Intuitive Color Awareness Guide.
Intuitive Color Awareness Guide.
Yeah.
Can find it on Amazon.
Oh yeah, Amazon has it, or my website, Spirits Evolving, and it really is. It's sort of a little workbook. You take each color. You know, we have all kinds of colors, but the main 7 energy centers, are the vibrant colors. So we take those, and you know, if you're really working with anger all the time, and you realize that, then that's obviously the red energy center, because the language has carried that throughout, I think, throughout history, that you feel blue, you're really angry, you're red like a bull, you know. So then you say, you know, what energy can calm you down? So if you're really angry, you're just seeing some nice blue energy, looking at a blue candle, things like that can really make you better. It sounds a little silly, but it is a powerful tool.
You said you are a clairvoyant. The difference between clairvoyant and psychic?
Well,
because people always say, oh, go see the psychic.
Right. Well, it's interchangeable for a lot of people. But I think to be an intuitive consultant, to be clairvoyant, is really to pick up energy at the moment and things that are going on. Clairvoyance is all about seeing clearly at the moment. Precognition is seeing in the future. So if you have a dream and something's going to happen tomorrow, that's not clairvoyance, that's precognition. So it varies just a little bit, you know, as you're going through it. But I think, you know, psychic has much more varied meaning, where you call and they just tell you stuff. You just get answers. You just do that. With me, it's more like intuitively tuning into your whole life, all of your energy. What can you do? So it's really quite a bit of difference.
So Lee Channing's with us today, clairvoyant. You can call us 434-284-9470. That's 434-284-9470. Dan, our producer, is here today to help us take your call and patch you through. Lee is a clairvoyant, so she's here to read your energy, help you through tough decisions, or help you guide you through issues of relationships, jobs, possibly medical, just help you find the right path, make things a little more clear through a foggy time that you might be having, not tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl in the future. This is not a psychic
People
show.
Want the lotto numbers, or, you know, so if I knew those, I'd be living in the Caribbean somewhere, okay?
So again, the phone lines are open, 434-284-9470. If you want to talk to Lee Channing. We used to do this show on the old radio station. We get tons of calls. I'd like to do that again. But you and I, we have lots to talk about.
Always.
If everybody wants to leave the hour to you and me, we can certainly do that.
What you were saying reminded me of something that I like to try to remember to tell people. If you go to anyone, whether that's a life coach, even a therapist sometimes, you have to be careful that your therapist fits into your energy. A very good therapist may not be the correct therapist for you. So you want to make sure if you go to an intuitive, an astrologer, whomever you go to, if they're offering you an awful lot of information to impress you, if they are saying you need to come back next week and you need to bring me money, or, you know, you need to do these different things. And the hard part sometimes is if things that they're saying, you may not like them, but if they sound totally wrong to you, what is that person talking about? My job feels very safe and secure and I love it. And why is she saying it's time to get a new job and this and that? So all of it should go together with your energy. It should be something where you feel good about your interaction with the person. You feel trust. I think word of mouth is the very best way to find someone. I've been so lucky that the website is evidently very welcoming to people, because I get so many nice emails, and I do readings for people all over the world. I just got an email from Sweden with some videos of the holidays, and so it's really a wonderful thing to do. But feeling like you have a trust is really very important.
And the website is spiritsevolving.com.
I like the snake in the middle of this, because a lot of people, I can't find your website. I've looked everywhere. It's Spirit Evolving, because they think spirit, you know, one person evolving, but it's spirits with an S.
That's right, spirits. And I think Brian always gives me a second website that I can never remember. Do you know what that other website is?
I don't. LeeChanning.com. Thank you, Brian.
In the distance, the winds bring us that other name.
Yeah,
LeeChanning.com.
I rarely have to visit my website. I just push the button and I'm there.
LeeChanning.com. So if you're out there and you have a question for our clairvoyant guide today, feel free to call us up. 434-284-9470. I always say somebody has to be first. Always has to be somebody first on the dance floor before other people will go dancing.
I think that's kind of a dare. Come on, somebody, be first. It's a new year. Today's the first. Be the first caller.
So. You know, let's talk about that for a minute. It's the first day on the Gregorian calendar, right? January 1st. But when you look at things in a variety of ways, we celebrate the world depending on, if you want to look at it from a clairvoyant way and from colors, you look at things from seasons, right? Winter, mm-hmm. spring, summer. I had to look these up last night. Don't be believing that I already knew this. It's called the tropical solar calendar, right? Some people do things from zodiac signs, right? I'm a Gemini, which is why you can't tell whether I'm going to get happy or mad about it.
Change pretty quickly.
It's called, and I'm going to mispronounce this, the sidereal solar calendar, right? So do these things play a role in how we look at things? When people always say, oh, it's January 1st, let's start fresh.
That usually falls pretty flat, but yes, it's a good idea.
Right. So, and as we look at things today, does the world lead us into starting fresh? You know, would you tell me, we'll just start with me. Are you telling me to start fresh about something?
Well, yes, but you should wake up every morning and have that, I'm going to start fresh. You know, the first week in January, the gyms are full of people. You know, by February, they're not so many people, because we do, as human beings, we have a lot of ambition and we have a lot of things we want to do. But in reality, we have jobs and we have illnesses and we have all these things that slow us down and put us into a different space. But I think that if you can really come back to you, and I think that's what this year is all about. Every year should be about that. But this year, even more than usual, 2016 was a heck of a year. You know, we don't even need to go into all the reasons. And there were a lot of them. It was a very, very active energy year, and certainly not on always a positive side. But if we need to bring it back to each individual person. You can't look at your political party. You can't look at your group of friends. You can't even look at your family to really help you make the world a better place. You have to do it for yourself. And I think that was thinking on the way driving over here this morning, that that kind of energy, if I can just share that, if somebody out there is listening and can say, you know, I need to do a little more today for whatever I want to do. I don't want to sit at home and complain. You know, I've seen a lot of that lately, too. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. This is so awful. This is so bad. Probably is. It's not that that's not true, but you can't dwell on that. You know, you have to be able to move out of there. You have to be able to go into your own energy. You have to be able to say, I can do something to make this better. You start in your own home. You start in your own bedroom to go back. Okay, now what can I do today? Okay, good. Now what's the next step? What can I do for my neighbors? What can I do in my job? You know, do I touch people enough? What am I getting out there to do it? And it will make life better for everybody if each of us, you know, so, you know, I love the bumper sticker that says, you know, what is it? Bark more. I know you've seen it. It's an animal. Anyway, it's really a good one, you know, and it's just about having fun in life a little bit, even as stressed as we can all be, to bring that love and joy into your life. You know, we all face situations, and I think to think light and love instead of, you know, being fearful and angry, and no matter what your situation, whether it's a health situation, you know, whether it's cancer, whether it's, you know, a marriage that's falling apart, whatever it is, you can always make it the best that you can. And that's a hard thing to do, because you have to take a lot of personal responsibility.
Do we look at things differently, or should we look at things differently on January 1st than we should on summer solstice?
Yeah. And yes, I mean, that's a good question. And I sort of just said the opposite, that we need to do it every day. But yes, because we can be stimulated. We all need energy stimulation regularly. You know, we have to find out who we are. And everybody's so different. Everybody likes a different season, or may like a different season. I'm a spring person. Boy, do I feel more energy and stronger. Even the end of March, when the crocus begin to blow, you know, it's just, okay, good, spring is here. There are a lot of people who are fall people. Boy, thank goodness the hot summer is over, or all the vacations are over and I get to go back teaching. Or, you know, thank goodness the holidays are finally here. And you do react differently. And I've learned over the years, I do have to reorient my energy a little bit when you start getting the frost, you start getting the cold. I can't let myself say, oh my gosh, it's too cold. I just go, okay, good. Now take a deep breath and just, so you need to work with your own energy and say, yes, I think everybody tends to do it more January 1. Some people, you could do it, you know, July 1, or you could do it in the summer solstice. You know, as you know, so many of the ancient civilizations, I mean, they did celebrate the solstice. They did. We were just in Mexico, and years ago, I'd been to Tulum to see some of the Mayan ruins, you know, and when they go back, they're always so surprised to see that they seem to know that the stars would be there or the sun would be there, because it's pretty important. So, yes, I think as the seasons change, and you need to see how you respond to it. And although you need to stay in your day, you also need, sometimes you may need a little bit more light if you don't like the darkness in the winter. So leave your lights on a little bit later. You know, those kinds of things that can make a difference.
Lee Channing here with us today. She is a local clairvoyant. You can go to leechanning.com. You can also go to spiritsevolving.com. You can also call up and ask a question if you'd like. A health issue for yourself or your family, maybe something about your job or relationship. 284-9470. That's 434-284-9470. Sunday morning wake-up call, Rick Moore with Lee Channing. Lee, you were just talking about seasons and what's best for everybody. That's always a question I have, especially in the winter. You hear people say, oh, I hate winter. It's so cold. I hate the snow. Please don't snow. What do you tell people specifically now? You said, you know, turn on the lights, et cetera. What would you tell somebody? You know, it's January 1st. You've got, we'll say, 3 months to go. It's not going to get any warmer. We know that we're going to have some snow. What do you tell them? How do you deal with this?
Well, I mean, I seem to have a theme here, but you have to go back to, if you know, even if it's just today, you realize that January 1st, you know, I really don't feel as well in the winter. I really dread getting up. It's so cold and it's dark when I come home from work and, you know, really don't like that. Then you have to back up and go, okay, what could I do? What would make me feel like it's summertime? And literally play some Jimmy Buffett music, play some Caribbean music, you know, put on a lay and dance around your house for a little while. Laugh at yourself, because if you fall into the black pit of I hate winter, then you're going to be miserable for the next two, three months at least. So, you know, it's up to you. You know, the weather's not doing anything to you other than it does have an effect on your energy, but it's not an effect that you can't counteract. You can always go, you know, and some people, the heat really bothers them. Okay, you try to stay in the shade. You know, do the obvious things, but also do it energetically where you feel cool. You know, picture a polar bear on an ice floe. You know, whatever you can do. That energy is so powerful, and so many human beings give it little credence at all. Oh, well, I get up in the morning and my body tells me what to do and I go shower and then I brush my teeth and I go to work and, you know, I have to drive carefully and then I use my mind all day and then maybe I exercise, which is good for the body. But if you can take, how is my energy feeling today? What am I feeling like? Not how am I? Am I ill? How am I feeling today? A lot of people could never tell you. So it's really a good exercise to begin doing that, you know. So I think it's a good time to do that for everybody. And January 1 is a good day to do it.
Lee Channing with us. You spoke earlier. You wrote your book, Intuitive Color Awareness Guide.
Mm-hmm.
We always pick about colors, you always start through me on
Don't
the shirt that
it.
I wear. That's okay, because today when I got up and I was getting dressed, I thought, you know what? I don't have any good shirts to wear because I need to do laundry. And so I'm going through the closet and I'm like, I guess I'm going to wear that. So let's start. It's a button-up shirt. Sort of a forest green and, would you call that gray?
Yeah.
Forest green and gray vertical stripes.
Right.
And so let's go.
That was interesting that you said forest green, because I knew we'd talk about your shirt at some point.
Did you call it a different green?
No. I was thinking you look like you're in a forest because the vertical lines look like trees, pine trees, and the green is sort of that, it's not a bright green at all, but it's really kind of a woodsy green, you know. But one thing it also says is vertical stripes. People say, I didn't buy the shirt, it's not my fault. It's how you feel in it.
No, I bought this shirt.
You bought it, okay. It's how you feel in it.
I don't know, it's kind of old.
Yeah, it's how you feel in it. And I think when you wear vertical stripes, a lot of times, I know it's subtle, but you're trying to pull your energy together. People who wear big horizontal stripes are trying to spread their energy out.
But I'm a big guy, so I'm a firm believer that big guys shouldn't wear horizontal clothes because it makes you bigger.
Yeah, I agree. I don't wear horizontal stripes because I don't like them either. You know, but all of us women, you want to look a tiny bit smaller, probably. But I think that when if you look at it and you say, this makes me feel comfortable. this makes me weird. I feel funny when I wear this shirt. And I've had people say that. I wear that yellow shirt, but every time I put it on, I feel kind of irritated. And, you know, yes, it could be the shirt, you know, the color of your bedroom. But this shirt is calming. It's very woodsy and outdoorsy. But it also feels like, even with the vertical lines, it's sort of about freedom and about, you know, moving yourself out, taking some deep breaths. Green is the heart center and the chakras, and that's about finding your balance. Vertical stripes will show you in a minute if you look in the mirror and physically, literally show you. But energetically, do you feel in your core? Do you feel like you're in your center? Or are you a little off balance? Do you need to do something to cure that? And it's an energy thing, not a physical. Oh, I had vertigo a couple of weeks ago. Tell me about being like the whole room spinning, you know. And when it's a physical thing, totally different, you know, from an energy thing where you feel scattered and you're not able to focus and you feel like everything is out of balance. Then really focusing on your clothes is a healthy thing to do. This shirt is fine for you. It's not dynamic. It doesn't jump out. If you were on TV, I'd say maybe don't wear that shirt. You need a brighter shirt or something with more energy, you know, a blue or something with a little red in it. But this is very good. I mean, it's a really nice shirt. It's certainly not like some of them I used to give you such a hard time. I said, how old is that shirt?
I'm married now. I think all
the married
I think
part.
All
now
those,
I get
I think
it.
The majority of those old shirts have been secretly and subtly trashed.
Thank you, Rick's wife.
Or if not, maybe just put in way back in the closet. But I've gotten to the point where I, you know, when I'm on a show with Lee Channing, I'm like, what am I going to wear?
Well, it is interesting, too, that, you know, when I do personal consults, I always prepare what I call an energy sheet. And once somebody talks to me and makes an appointment, that they give me permission to tune into their energy, which I would not do without permission. I don't run around tuning into people and seeing what they're like unless they ask me to. But anyway, I will see a color in their energy. Like, you know, I'll see green in their energy, and I'll put that on the sheet of paper. You know, the color is green. Pink is going to be soothing to you. Here are some things that you might need. And I would say at least 90% of the time, sometimes more, if I look back at a month, the people are wearing the color that I have on the sheet. And it really shocks them. They go, well, yeah, I've been wearing a lot of blue. How did you know I was going to have on blue? I mean, that seems to startle them more than me saying, you know, you really got a trouble with feeling sad. You really have trouble with your job is not working out, whatever it is. When they walk in with blue on and I say, yeah, blue is your color, I think maybe because it's a physical thing, something they can see, but it's really very important.
11:23 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with our guest, Lee Channing. She is a clairvoyant. You're welcome to call up, ask your own questions about colors, about health, relationships, family.
Animals. I always like talking with animals.
About animals.
With and about animals.
We'll come back.
Yeah.
I have some animal questions. 434-284-9470. Give us a ring. And back in action here on Sunday morning, January 1st, 2017. Happy New Year to you, your family, your friends, your animals. From the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Lee, you were saying that you always like talking with and about the animals. You mm-hmm. can... You can catch up with animals.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all do. You know, we all do. People say, oh, you do animal communication? That, you know, it's really not that unusual. It just depends on if you hone your skills, you know, if you practice more. Because people will come to me and go, you know, my dog's just not feeling well. I know. I mean, he's eating and this, but I can tell by his eyes. Or, you know, I can tell my dog is sad. Or, you know, something is going on with my dog. Or, you know, they don't have to bring your leash to look at you and say, hey, I'd like to go outside. I'd like to go for a walk. So we communicate with the animals all the time. If we didn't, they wouldn't be domesticated. You know, you wouldn't let the dog live in your house if he didn't communicate to you when he needed to go outside. You know, so I think we all do it. And as a child, I remember knowing when, like, a dog would be on my, you know, then people did not keep their animals in. There were people who were not fence jars and, you know, very few leashes. You had your dog, you ran in the yard. And so neighbors' dogs would come over, and if something was wrong with the dog, I would be able to feel it. And I'd go on the porch and go, oh, my, you know, I need to call. I had my mother call whomever owns that dog because something's wrong. So I thought everybody really had a good feel for animals. But then I found out that wasn't true later on, and, you know, I was just going through life. So I started doing things like I would go to the shelter, and I would go down dog by dog in the kennels and talk to them and just see if they, quote, said anything to me. And it kind of took a while before it was most of the time, because some animals are like people. They don't talk to you. They got nothing to say. They're fine, you know. And it's like, you know, haven't said anything for 20 years. Well, until now, everything was fine. You know, that's the kind of attitude that some animals really are not open to talking with you. A friend of mine just got a puppy. And when I tuned into the puppy, it is the wildest, freest, amazing energy. And it is one wild dog. So I really, she said, oh, tell me, like, would he be a therapy dog and all this? He's too young. He's still a silly kid. You know, he's still like a giggly person. You know, that's what he's doing. So everyone is different. But I think everyone can practice with your own animals. Go out and look at a good comparison is whether or not you can, quote, feel animals is even in your mind. If you could do it physically, it would be good. Think about a cow. What does a cow bring to your mind? Not your intuition, but just your mind. Okay, here's a cow. How do you feel? Well, if you really trust yourself a little bit, a cow is very grounded, very down to earth, very kind of slow movement. That's what you think. Think cow, and you start building this picture. You know, of course, the bull, I'm a double Taurus, so I have a lot of bull in me. So the cow part, I understand. And then compare it to a horse. You know, I love working with horses. Horses have the lightest, strongest, powerful energy that moves so fast. And you can see a horse, you know, flying across the field, totally different energy. Nobody can deny that. You know, well, I don't have to read animals to know there's a difference in a cow and a horse, but it's not about the difference. It's not about how they look, because dogs can be individually different, you know. So when you bring it in more, there's a cow and there's, you know, they're not all the same. You know, there's a camel, there's a giraffe. All animals have a little bit different energy. But when you bring it down to animals we live with, dogs and cats, I have a one-eyed cat and a three-legged cat at the moment. They couldn't be more different. My one-eyed cat's all about him. You know, he's a big boy. He's strong. He wants what he wants. He wants to go out. He wants to come in. He wants to sit on you and be rubbed when he wants it. Whereas my little Gracie, my little three-legged cat, she wants you. Please rub me. I want to be with you all the time. Now, I don't let her go outside, obviously, because of the three legs. But, you know, she's right there with me. Doesn't matter where I am in the house. She's literally under my feet. So I have to be very careful not to step on her. But Patch, I may not see him for, you know, hours and hours. You know, he'll be in the other room. He's just very independent. So just to take your own animals, and most people these days, I think, have animals, or their friends or family do, and just sort of start reading them, start playing with it. You know, have a good time with it, because that's the secret. You know, you don't need to say, oh, the animal needs to give me, you know, a paragraph. You may get one word. One of my favorite stories, I was at my friend's house, and she had two beautiful labs that I'd known since they were very young, since they were puppies, and they both died recently. But there was a yellow one and a black one, and they were so different. The yellow one was like, hey, how you doing? You know, the black one's like, hello, what's going on? Hello, I'm here. I'm on the jump, you know. So she had some people over that really didn't believe in animal communication. It's good, you know, okay, you know. So the black dog was jumping on the door, like trying to get in, because we were all inside, trying to get in, trying to get in, trying to get in, just repetitive stuff. So one of the people looked at me and said, oh, okay, what's she saying? I said, she's saying in. My friend will still remind me of that, because that's basically all it was. She wasn't saying, I would like to come in and jump on you and you can rub behind my ears. She was saying, in, I want to come in. It's like squirrel. I know you've probably heard that too. She was going in. And yet I've gotten many full sentences, and really with, especially I work a lot with dying and very ill dogs. And so that's so difficult for the human. So what you're doing mainly is helping the human do the right things for the animal. Now, you're very blocked when it's your own animal. So I do have people that are very intuitive that don't want to read their own cat. In fact, I have a woman who's psychic, and when I knew it was time for our dog to go, she was 12 and a half, and, you know, I actually called somebody and said, okay, I'm getting that it's time, but can you just validate my feelings? Because they're so close to us. They take so much of their heart and soul.
11:30 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, January 1st. Welcome to 2017 with Rick Moore and our guest today, Lee Channing. She is a local clairvoyant. You're welcome to call, ask a question, take advantage of the situation here today. 434-284-9470. That's 284-9470. Ask any question you'd like. Currently, we're talking about pets. Lee, you knew both my dogs. You knew Lazarus for quite some time. I used to bring him to the old radio station, and I found it humorous because the first time you actually spoke with him, he was complaining about how cold.
You should keep your home warmer.
The cabin, the log cabin without good heating really wasn't a great place to keep warm. Currently, I'm stepfather to a dog. What's the proper way to?
That's good. Announce
that. Do you have any insight into what Dutch is talking about? I don't know how communicative he might be with you.
When you were talking, I thought, where are we going with this? Because I didn't really feel much coming through. I mean, I can always feel Lazarus. He was an amazing dog. I loved it when, you know, he was with us. Because animals actually share a lot more energy than we expect. They take little, but they can share
a lot. Lazarus would also come to the station and put his snout in your lap.
He just got there.
And Dutch is not here.
Right, right. I think with Dutch is the energy feels a little bit clear/flat. Now, I know that's I have to sort of say the words as they come out. I don't feel any major complaints. You know, he's not saying, oh, dear Lord, I'm starving, I'm cold. Something is going on here with me. But he also feels like he wants stimulation. And he needs stimulation. So whatever that is, if it's an extra walk, if it's... to try to play with toys are picky with him. I would say to try to have something to play with, have something to do that doesn't always involve food, you know, those kinds of things. The dog's bored. Let's put it there. You know, I think he needs more inspiration in his life. He needs a little bit more, not guidance. You know, it's a pretty aware dog in some ways, but he doesn't bother with things he doesn't want to bother with. So I hope some of that is going to help work with him.
Thank you. Dutch, we'll see what we can do about that. So, again, if you have a question, doesn't have to be about your animal, but if you have one about your animal, feel free to call up 434-284-9470 here with Lee Channing. Lee, we were talking about colors again. You can go find Lee Channing's book, Intuitive Color Awareness Guide. I'm going to go back to colors for a minute. Again, it is January 1st. People making their resolutions. Is there a way to extend a resolution through color?
How do you come up with such good questions? Grief. What have you been doing since last New Year?
Thank my parents.
I love your parents, by the way. They're wonderful people. Yes. And the first thing to do, you have to do it in the moment. I mean, you can plan ahead. Well, you know, I know that. I'll just say the colors. The base colors, red is the base of the spine, then orange is below the navel, and then yellow is right in the solar plexus. And then it comes up to the center of the body, which is green at the heart center. Blue is the throat center. Purple is the third eye between, you know, between your eyes, and pink is the top of the head. Now, don't call me when you say, I read a book that said indigo, purple was the top of the head, and blue was... And the nose is blue. There are only two that I've ever read in 20 years of doing research on this. I see the top chakra as pink as opposed to indigo or white. But we all have different colors. But if you know which color you're working on, if you say, oh, okay, the lower colors are heavier. And I mean, that's like if you were holding them in your hand, red would feel like 1 pound and pink would feel like a half a pound. I mean, you know, they're just different in feeling as well. So when you're working on red issues, you're working on anger, finances, do you have enough courage in your life? the thing, are you impatient? The things that deal with the red center, then you go, oh, okay, what color is a complementary color that heals red? And that would be blue. You know, we have opposite colors. So then you would think, oh, okay, I need to wear more blue. I need to bring blue into my life. I need to buy some blue sheets. I need maybe a blue towel, something to bring those other colors in. But you can program the future a little bit by saying, I know I feel better when I wear blue. Then don't wear your red shirt, your yellow shirt, your orange shirt very often, you know, at least that. And people go, well, I have to wear blue. It's my uniform. I'm an airline pilot. I have to wear this color all the time. But I don't even like it, or it's not my color. And then, of course, your two choices are something like, okay, you know, get some underwear. We've said that before. If you know that you really want to think about yellow and be active and think clearly, you know, buy that. You know, hopefully you can find it. But if not, you could put something around you, carry something with you. You know, get a wallet or a purse or, you know, something sort of like a totem that you say, I really need more blue in my life. I need to be calm. I need to relax. I need to communicate well. Then remind yourself. The very fact that most people, the majority of the people in the world probably, don't really take time to think about it. You throw on the first shirt and you don't paint your walls the color you like. Or, you know, you'll find, speaking of airline pilots, I had two pilots that bought a house here and they painted their bedroom bright yellow because her husband loved yellow. And she called me for a reading. She said, can you do energy reading on my house? I said, sure, you know, we'll talk about it. And so I'll go through and feel the energy and talk about colors. And when I got to the bedroom, I opened the door and went, whoa. You know, I almost didn't even want to go in the bedroom. It was bright yellow with a very pale bedspread on the bed and all that. But it was so invigorating and so bright and so, quote, alive and so yellow. I said, how can you possibly sleep in that? And this woman, she said, that's why I called you. I haven't been able to sleep, you know. And I said, and she said, we just painted it. And I said, well, you got to paint it again. If you want to sleep, you know, do that. And so because blue is a nice color for sleeping, you know, blue is the color of dream time. So it's really good to think about everybody. Your bedroom will probably be healthier if it's a color you really like. And when you look at it, it's not the decorator's favorite color. It's what feels right to you. You know, my granddaughter, we just redid her room. It was this sort of bright young girl blue. And she's going, I don't like blue anymore. And I said, what color do you want? And she said, brown. What? Brown? A brown bedroom? Okay, well, we'll think about this. So I went and got all the little paint chips for different shades of brown. And she picked out one, I think it was called bamboo. And I'm like, okay, I called the painter that's done some work for us. And he said, you want to paint the bedroom brown? I said, yep, it's exactly what we want. It is gorgeous. It is warm. It's gentle. It's elegant. She and I picked some things for the walls that sort of bring that color in. And it is so comfortable. I'd like to go in there and sit sometime, you know. So it has to be a color that you like. And if you know you hate the color blue, don't do your bedroom blue. Maybe make it a rose colored, something like that. That's very calming.
It's amazing. How old was the person you're talking about?
My granddaughter?
Yeah.
She's 13.
13.
Yeah.
And has already identified the color that, and not only identified it, but not been, because a lot of 13-year-olds in a different relationship, the adults in their life would have said, no, we're not doing that, which might have led to different personality feedback. Did I phrase that in some sort of ridiculous way? But if you make the 13-year-old happy, you paint it, that's the color she wants, you paint it that way. I mean, you're not painting it rainbow colors, you know, all up and down the walls, you know, or something else. You know, she's not five, but you paint it something that is reasonable just because the adults go, what, brown? That's not a normal color that you paint it. but you look at it and you go, all right, if that's what you want. And then you go, oh, wow, that's nice. Yeah. You've made her happy. You get, so you're going to get good feedback from a 13-year-old. There's not going to be rebelliousness about that, as opposed to somebody who did fight her. You know, a 30-year-old or 35 or 40-year-old parents and grandparents who did fight her on that. Sure. And then you make her unhappy. And then there's, you know.
Well, yeah. And that tells a lot about a child's well-being, too. Oddly enough, the time we were redoing her room, she redid her room at her mother's and within a few months redid her room at her father's. So, you know, it was time for her to change and go play. Now, do you have to have common sense? Yeah, you don't want to tear your wall down and paint it polka dots. If it's, you know, the parent can still say, hey, this is my house. I don't want that in my house. So there has to be some sanity, some list in there. But I think if you look at what a child, you know, brown, the shade of brown that it is has a lot of gold. It's very calming. It's very kind of down to earth. And that's kind of where you want a teenager. Now, somebody will say, oh, dear God, you know, my 16-year-old painted his room black. You know, that's saying a lot. You know, does he wear the goth jewelry? Does it, you know, that's saying a lot. He might be depressed. He might be down. He might just be going through a, quote, phase. I hate that word, but it does happen. So, you know, because you should be going through phases, too. Every now and then you go, you know, I'm so tired of wearing that green shirt. I'm going to put that away while I'm wearing pink. But for a child to find that happy medium where you satisfy their needs while not overdoing, you teach them responsibility and balance. And no, you're not painting your room purple polka dots. It's just not going to happen. But we'll think about that color and let's go into it. Because kids pick up energy better than adults do. So they may well know what color's better for them. Babies, I've had parents, I've worked with people that had little children, and they said, my baby can't sleep. Can you come over? There's a ghost in the bedroom. Something's going on. And I'd go over, and it was painted like a baby's room. There were squares of yellow and squares of orange and squares of beautiful baby's room. Nobody in the world could sleep in that room. You know, that should be a playroom. You know, invigorate the child, let them play, but don't make them sleep in all these bright, bright colors. You know, and it really does make more difference. I mean, I know I'm overdoing it a little bit. It makes so much difference how you surround, what you do with your surroundings, the color of car you buy, your clothes and your towels and your sheets, even food. If you watch babies, sometimes they're, of course, pretty taste conscious, but if you show them food that's green, you know, not the pureed peas, but they may not even want to try it because they react to the color as well. You know, so everybody does. You may find you really like, you know, the dark green lettuce better than the white lettuce. It also may be that dark green is sort of a better color for you. And for every color, there are also foods, you know, that you want to eat. When the heart center is busy, you want to eat more vegetables. You know, when the red center is active, you need more protein. You know, that sort of down-to-earth thing. So everything kind of goes together. When you're working with the pink, the very light energy, you don't want to eat a lot. You want to cut down on the amount of food. If you do fasting, that will be the time to do fasting. If you were working on just, quote, red issues for many times it's a year, no, many times it's more like 2 years for these energy patterns. So that we say, okay, for the next, you know, I need to remember I'm kind of working on this, so I don't want to overdo that. Because, you know, I had one woman who, you know, everything in her house was beige. And she was so bored. Her life was so slow. She didn't care for a job. She had everything she needed. I mean, she wasn't ill. She had enough money to live. She was fine. But she was so afraid of emotion and so afraid of feeling alive. Because I think her childhood, you can't blame everything on that, but you do have to work through it sometime. That beige was the only color she was comfortable with. And I said, okay, get a painting with color. Don't paint your house all kinds of colors just because you want to try color. You know, put a tapestry on the wall. Do something different. So use color in your life.
11:44 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with our guest today, Lee Channing. And back in action with Lee Channing. Lee, so you were talking about the 13-year-old who seem to have identified, do you think it was sort of a lucky internal guess about the proper color, or was this someone who was already finding, and I got this phrase from your website, finding and building her own energy source?
Well, I think we do that from birth, literally. So there's no such thing as a lucky guess. If you're following your intuition, that's way more than a guess. Now, it will feel like a guess. And maybe to other people, you know, why on earth would you think you'd like that? But it's usually more than a guess. With a child of any age, when they're saying, I really like this, I really want that, you know, there's some reason for it. You know, I had a friend whose nephew said he wanted to be a pilot when he was like 10, you know, and oh gosh, you know, he's flying big jets all over the world now. He knew from day one he wanted to be a pilot. Now, we're not all that lucky. You know, a lot of people go, come on, I'm 50. Is this really the job I want for the rest of my life? So you can't, you know, mix those too much. But yes, I think children, you have to listen to children a little bit more than we do, because I think they know a lot more than we do. And I've had so many people, we probably don't even need to go into, but I'm also a hypnotherapist and have been since the 70s. So I do past life regressions. I don't do as many anymore because I pick it up when I do a consult. But you know, there are many times when there's something kind of hanging on. And I had a friend who had children who said things like, when I used to be big, I was your father, and I used to ride a horse. And of course, ho, 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 you laugh it off. And there's a book out, it's been years now, 3 or 4 years probably, of this young boy. All he could draw were World War II, World War I, I can't remember, planes. And he'd never seen anything like that. So the parents couldn't figure out why he was able to draw those. And then as he got a little bit older, he started talking about a certain island in the Pacific. And they began to pay attention. And I think now he's been on every major TV program, and there's a book out. I don't remember his name right now, but I'm sure you could find it. And to everybody's knowledge, Ian Stevenson here at UVA was an amazing past life researcher and a wonderful man. And you can go back and you can see all these things. Now, is it genetic memory? It could be. Was his great-great-grandfather or his great-grandfather there? The problem is, in that case, they couldn't find any recent. There was no way that there was any ancestor that had been in that war. And he actually found there was a man who was still alive, so it must have been World War II, that remembered some of those things. And he actually validated this boy's story that, well, yeah. And he remembers the plane being hit and where it was hit. So, I mean, it's remarkable. If you go out there and look and you don't let things like that frighten you, life is just full of these kind of magical things. And you go and find your own. You know, if you came into this world hating something, milk, you know, whatever it is, there might be some reason for it, that maybe it was your, again, ancestors. Maybe it was your past life, if you believe, you know, and that depends on what your belief system is. But there's so many ways to make your life stronger and better.
So let's talk about past life for mm-hmm. a minute. So you're telling me that, does everyone, do you believe that the majority of people are souls or spirits, whichever one it is, that are reborn?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and also it's about, are there some new spirits? Of course. You know, I think spirits are literally all powerful. We are part of what most people say, God. You know, I think we're part of that. I think spirits are part of that. And we come here to learn lessons. I really feel like the earth is sort of a laboratory. You know, we come here to figure out, and we work on different things in different lives. You know, and we have to have contrast. We have to have light and dark. Somebody said, why would anybody choose to be this horrifying person, this serial killer, this whatever? Well, you know, you don't really know. There's something that happened up there in between lives that made it necessary. And so maybe we do have to have some sort of contrast. Sometimes even I find that, why would anybody do that to the world? But it happens, you know, if things like that really happen. But when I started doing this, I was working with a professor in Oregon who was writing a book about past life regressions, and he taught us a couple of relaxation techniques. And then you go from there, and then I got my certification for hypnotherapy. And everybody's very different, even in a regression. Some people go very quickly and easily, and other people are going, I'm making this up. I don't know. This is not real. Okay, it doesn't matter. You know, I tell them there are three things. Either it's a past life, if you believe in reincarnation of the spirit. It's your imagination, you're just going, oh, well, I think I'm a pilot in World War II. Or, you know, you're just, you're getting to the point where you're saying, maybe my grandfather was a pilot, because I remember that. I remember the sound or the smell, or, you know, I remember some sense can connect me to that. And I've done readings that were so clear that one woman was a Native American in probably the Dakota somewhere, and she was sitting in the regression. She was sitting at a fire, you know, like the campfire kind of picture, and there were five or six people around the fire. And in that regression, she could look at those people and go, oh, that person is my brother in this life. That person was my minister in this life. I mean, that person is my friend in this life, to the point where, you know, a lot of the research shows that we do kind of tend to come back in groups, you know, so that you may work. If you believe in karma, which I sort of halfway do, then you may come back to sort of make sure that everything is even and balanced. You know, if I killed you in a past life, I don't think you have to come kill me in a past life. That's why I was wobbling a little bit on that. I think it's about understanding the right and the wrong, the spiritual, and then it's not even right and wrong, the spiritual and the non-spiritual. If you can go there, is that, if everybody has said, is that the most spiritual thing I could do? Spiritual meaning loving and light, then there'd be, the world would be a better place. You know, but if you go into, I'm going to stab that guy in the back and get him fired, where are you coming from there? You know, certainly not the light. So if we all stopped and said, hey, you know, this is coming from the light in me, I got that, or this is my dark side. We all have them. Everybody has them. And if you focus on the light side, your life is going to be much better. You know, and, you know, if you can say, be kind. Okay, that was one that, you know, I told my granddaughter lately, be kind. If you can be kind and have gratitude for life, you're way ahead of the game. You know, if you roll your eyes at your professor, you may not get the grade that you want. If you go, okay, I understand the professor might have been having a bad day, let's work this out. And it's hard when you're immature, but I've seen people that were 75 that were still immature. We don't all mature, okay? Don't say because you're older. No, you might be a 15-year-old, you know, in a 50-year-old body. That happens pretty regularly. So,
how do we, or what are your thoughts on how we keep memories or why we keep memories?
Well, I mean, if there wasn't a reason for memories, we kind of forget things as we go along. And I just think memories go, they're part of our basic life structure. I think we come here, you talked early on about astrology or, you know, the zodiac, all these different forms, and you can look at the Maya and this and that. You know, when we go back, I think we're all like an overlay, and I know you've all seen that. You have this color on the bottom, and then you take a, you know, a sheet and put over it, a laminate sheet, and then another sheet. So, I mean, we're all very complicated. But I think that when we find out who we are, then we turn around and can find all of these ways to work to increase our overall well-being.
Again, our guest today, Lee Channing, here with us on the January 1st, 2017 Sunday morning wake-up call. Just a few minutes left. Lee, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it was wonderful to be here, as always.
Not everybody wants to be up and moving around on January 1st. Again, for another minute or two on past life regressions. So, assuming that you and I are not new souls or spirits, how does one go about finding out what we were doing before?
Well, usually you will know. It will come to you in dreams, or you have this affinity for Japan. You want all these Asian things in your home, and you feel that. You know, my guess
so
is
I was a librarian.
Well, yeah,
because I like hardcover books.
It could be. Or it could be that you wrote books by hand in the Middle Ages or something.
So I was one of the first guys.
Absolutely. It could be, because that's so important. You look at the things that are important to you. I had a woman who said, I want to go to Greece. I've wanted to go to Greece all my life, and I've never been there. When we did the regression, she was in some sort of white marble palace. It appeared to be on the Caribbean. Now, I couldn't say it was Greece, because it wasn't Greece then, probably. I don't know what it was. But I said, here's what I see. I see the islands out there. I see blue water, you know, and I see this. And then she was, you know, she was there. I don't say it first. And she said it. And so she said that. And I said, okay, you know, and she wasn't sure she was in Greece either, but she understood that that was, she had some real connection to that. She felt she was sort of a princess, and she, you know, had a very well-off father, a family. So that really helped her. And I've had people call me years later and say, remember when we did that regression? Or remember when you told me that I was a prisoner in England in the 1700s or whatever? Something just happened. I actually had a woman who said, I've always loved England. See, I never want to go to England, but anyway. And she ended up, she was a male, which we switch genders regularly. And she felt like she was a general, and she actually knew where she lived. She could see this building, this huge house in England somewhere, a castle. And she was so interested, maybe too interested sometime. She went online and actually found that castle, that home, and found the general who had lived there, and found pictures of him. Now, who do you think she looked like? If he had been a woman, they had the same nose, the same complexion from the picture. Now, you couldn't tell, but the same kind of, you know, the same texture, hair, and those kinds of things. So she was totally convinced that that was who she was, or that that was one of her ancestors. So it's fascinating. And people go deep. I had a friend that he said, I'm in Chicago and it's 1929 because I can see a newspaper. And he knew his name and where he lived. For some people, it's like, I think I'm in an army and that's it. So everybody's different, you know. So it's all unique and it's all fun. So trust your dreams. We didn't talk about dreams. Trust your dreams.
That's right. We have a couple minutes.
Okay.
So it is 11:57 and a half. So let's take 2 minutes and talk about dreams.
Okay.
And so when somebody has a dream that they can barely, you know, they wake up and they're like, it was this and this. Do you suggest that they write them down?
Oh, absolutely. I have a How to Keep a Dream Journal on my website. And if you...
LeeChanning.com and SpiritsEvolving.com.
That's right. And if you wake up and you know it was a powerful dream, don't move. Literally, don't move. Don't open your eyes. Because every movement, some of the dream's going to slip away. So you want to bring it back into your conscious mind, or bring it into your conscious mind before you move. If you know it's a powerful dream, pull it all in. Then you can sit up and write down. You don't have to write every detail. Some people put one word. Last night I dreamed about England. Last night I dreamed about a dog. Last night I dreamed about fear. You know, it can even be an emotion. You can wake up, and sometimes that happens to all of us. I know it does. You wake up and you feel kind of afraid. Now, was somebody chasing me in my dream? Was a bear after me in my dream? Or where'd that come from? So you just put your feelings down, and you can learn a lot. It may take a month, but you can learn a lot from your dreams and see sort of where your energy might need some inspiration and some work.
So you do this even for bad dreams?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Because that's important too. And maybe you can work that out. I mean, if you have bad dreams about a bear attacking you every night, maybe you should research bears. Maybe you should go back to your grandmother and say, was I ever in the woods and a bear ran by and scared me? I mean, you know, sometimes you'll never find out. We have to, there are things that we don't know in this life. We're not supposed to. But if you can go back and try to figure why that's coming into your energy, there's always something to tell you. It really is. There's always a message. And sometimes it's all the dreams of a month that go together and make a message. So you have to decide that. So.
Lee Channing, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's been wonderful, as always.
I appreciate starting 2017.
Happy New Year.
With Lee Channing as my guest. Sean McCord will be here next Sunday. And January 15th, we will be here with Jim Duncan. Everyone have a great week.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.